Hello, everyone, and welcome to Press This, the WordPress Community Podcast on WMR. This is your host, David Vogelpohl. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This. As a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at WPDavidV. You can subscribe to Press This on Red Circle, iTunes, or Spotify. And of course, you can download the latest episodes at WMR.fm. In this episode, we're going to be talking about strategic development for WooCommerce and Gutenberg. And joining us for that conversation from Poodle Press, I'd like to welcome Jamie Marsland. Jamie, welcome to Press This.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so glad to have you here. I'm a big fan of watching the use of the block editor with WooCommerce and just e-commerce shopping experiences in general. And so for those listening, we're going to be talking to Jamie about his thoughts on all that, though. But things around like when to create a custom block versus use core blocks, embracing customized and personal blocks in your builds, and then just general considerations for e-commerce and the block editor and FSE themes, full site editing 5.91 coming out last week when this episode broadcasts the next iteration in FSE. All right. Well, Jamie, I'm going to ask you the first question I ask every guest. Briefly tell me your WordPress origin story. When was the first time you used WordPress?
So we've got to go back a while. I was running a publishing business, and I had quite an expensive development team working for me. We were using a content management system called Ektron, which I think may still be around, a .NET content management system. And it was good and thorough, but development was slow and quite pricey. And then I discovered WordPress in my garage one weekend, and I was able to produce the kind of sites we were building for our publishing business in a weekend, just getting out of the box. And so I discovered it as a work requirement by chance, really. And then I had a few side projects, and then I brought it into that business. And it replaced our old content management system. But we're going back about 12, 13 years.
Okay, so 12 or 13 years. You're going to make me do math now. So around 2010, roughly.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a really critical moment in WordPress history with the introduction of custom post types and meta fields, really transforming WordPress into a CMS. All right, cool. I think you might be the second person with a Microsoft-esque background with your .NET CMS. We had a Sitecore person a few episodes back, but that's a somewhat unique origin story. That's pretty cool to hear.
And I think what was quite interesting is that, and at that time, the development community was pretty sniffy about WordPress, and it dominates the CMS market now, but back then it didn't, and certainly my developers were quite. I wouldn't say anti-WordPress, but they were quite anti the technology that was driving WordPress.
Oh, I remember in 2010 having a huge debate with one of my engineers around Drupal versus WordPress. And that was very early in the WordPress quote CMS days. And so it was quite the debate. And we ended up going with what the customers were calling about, which happened to be WordPress. And so
that
being a good choice.
What's interesting is I think it sort of mirrors the debate we're having as a community now with Gutenberg as well. Some of the same discussion points were coming up back then in terms of why it wasn't going to work. And actually, I've always believed Gutenberg was going to work, but mainly for the reasons not so much to do with the technology, more to do with the ecosystem. But we'll probably come on to that.
Absolutely. So I was wondering if you could quickly tell me a little bit about Poodle Press and what you do there.
Sure. Yeah. So I started the business 11 years ago. We are a training business and a plugin business. So we train people in WordPress. That's our heritage. When I first started the business, we were a pure training business. So we still do a lot of training, face-to-face training courses, and now via Zoom. And also run training courses as part of the Guardian newspaper masterclass series of courses. So that's our heritage. But we now also build, and we have done for years actually, our own WordPress plugins for quite a while. And over the last 2 years, we've been purely focused really on Gutenberg-based plugins and specifically around WooCommerce. I guess that's our main focus. So Gutenberg and WooCommerce, those twin tracks.
All right. Well, you're a good person to speak with then. So let's wind the clock back a little bit though, in your block experience here, I guess your block editor experience. When did Poodle Press first start use the block editor in a production build or plugins or whatever? And then like, what was your first experience with it? Did you have challenges and successes? Like, how did you think about it back then?
Yeah, we had both all those things. So we have a plugin called Caxton, which was our first plugin, which we launched pretty much right from the start of Gutenberg, because I always believed that Gutenberg was kind of where the future of WordPress was going to be. Right before it was, even before it was released, it was clear to me that that's where we need to invest our time and our money. So we built a plugin called Caxton, which you can still download from WP.org, and that's a library of blocks basically. And that was really challenging, because back then, I mean, we were only talking a few years ago, but Gutenberg was having lots of changes, and quite a few of those changes were breaking changes. So they were breaking the plugins that people were building in support of Gutenberg. So that was a huge challenge, because there were some big sort of technology changes that happened to Gutenberg in the early days as they were figuring out the direction of it, which was breaking everyone's plugins. So there was a lot of cost and investment involved in us going down that track.
Do you think that has abated recently? I mean, with FSE going into core, has that cycle started all over again? Or do you feel like it's in a more chill mode now?
Yeah, it's much easier now. So things don't generally break. I mean, literally it was breaking almost every time, and we're going back a few years, but it was pretty much breaking every time Gutenberg had a new version, which was obviously really problematic. And lots of other plugin, the guys that were developing for Gutenberg at the time were seeing the same thing as well. But now it's much smoother. It's a much smoother experience if you're developing for Gutenberg. The major challenge we have really, I suppose, now is that we have core, what goes into core, and we also have a plugin called Gutenberg on WP.org, which is a different discussion. But that definitely makes supporting and developing for Gutenberg more complex than potentially it could be.
Yeah, I think it was maybe you, me, and like six other people outside of the core Gutenberg team that were like pro Gutenberg in 2018.
Yeah.
And, it's really interesting, as I was speaking about it at WordCamps and whatnot, I would have people, raise their hand, have used it in production, and like, two people at first, and then a few more, and then nearly majorities, and then majorities, and then maybe even close to overwhelming majorities. But like, of course, there's the cycle of like, well, let it get baked first, and then I'm going to try it. It seems like we're maybe more in that mode now.
There's still that. I mean, I hang out on a lot of forums and support groups and Facebook groups, and there's still a lot of antipathy towards Gutenberg that I try and guide people in the nicest possible way to some of the positives on it. And that, we actually, coming back to Caxton, it was actually demoed by Matt Mullenweg at Nashville. I don't know if you were at Nashville, but
I was there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I was there as well, actually. So it was kind of exciting. And before he did his State of the Word, he put out a tweet asking for any innovative blocks that people were building. We had, as part of Caxton, we had a shape divider block. So you can do these lovely shapes to divide your pages up with. And he actually demoed it. So that was a great moment for us.
I think I do recall that. I mean, I think the Morton question on Q&A was probably like the most thing that stood out the most from that presentation.
Yeah, the questions are incredible.
And for those listening, there was a lot of debate around the timing and implementation of Gutenberg. And so some of the Q&A got a little spicy there for those that weren't familiar with that part of what happened during that rollout. But it seems like things like, I kind of reiterate with you, it feels like things are in a less breaking zone now with changes, and that you can rely on it more in the products and sites that you build. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's really stable now. So, yeah, we've had no issues for a long, long time in terms of the core Gutenberg.
All right. Well, I want to talk to you about building blocks in the Woo context, because there's a lot of considerations there. You kind of talked about what we have in core. You kind of talked about the Gutenberg plugin, and we have Woo itself. And so I think teams are probably like, what do I do? Which ones do I use? And when do I do it? And I'm guessing you have some pretty good points of view, which we'll ask you after this first break.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on WMR. This is your host, David Vogelpohl. I'm interviewing James Marsland of Poodle Press about strategic development for WooCommerce and Gutenberg. Jamie, right before the break, you were sharing a little bit around how some of the challenges you experienced over the years with Gutenberg, and a lot of that being anchored in, you know, as Gutenberg or the block editor evolved in core, you know, kind of introducing breaking changes and how that's kind of chilled out a little bit, which is good. But I want to shift gears now into talking about block strategy. So I kind of mentioned before the break, like Woo has blocks, WordPress core has blocks. What is your decision process for when you would might go with like modifying or styling a core block or Woo block versus say building a custom block? Like when do I style something off the shelf or versus when do I build something from quote scratch? How do you think about that?
Yeah, so I think of it really from a product point of view, really. I guess the first thing to say is we were pretty quick out of the blocks with our WooCommerce blocks. So we have a plugin called Woo Builder Blocks, which lets you customize the Woo product page using product blocks. And I know that WooCommerce are going to build something similar at some point, but we've had this out for a couple of years. So there's a few questions that we kind of go through, things like, do we think that if we're talking about WooCommerce, do we think that WooCommerce will be built, you know, replicate the blocks that we're thinking about building at some point? Especially when we talk about core, do we think that core will build some of the blocks that we're going to build at some point? I'm seeing a lot of that at the moment in some of the block libraries, where actually there's a lot of blocks in the block libraries out there, that some of the most popular block libraries that actually you can replicate pretty easily now just with core Gutenberg. So that's a, you know, key question. Can you do in core, or will you be able to do in core what we're thinking about doing? Because if you're going to be able to do it in core, then there's not much point in us.
So that's your point of view, like that's kind of like answering the question, like from your product development point of view. Do you have like a point of view, like for teams that might be considering things like block libraries or core blocks or whatever versus like custom? And totally get it from your like product development perspective. I'm just curious if you have an opinion from like a dev team perspective.
Well, also from an end user, I see a lot of, in our training business, we see a lot of people's websites where they're using third-party plugin libraries where they really don't need to, and they're just, you know, that's okay to a certain point, but obviously it's better if you can just use what's in core, because your technical debt going forward is going to be much smaller. I see tons of that stuff,
but that's
partly because this stuff was missing in core to start with. Like a lot of people will be using like container blocks or group blocks or columns blocks, or they'll use third-party layout blocks, whereas actually you can do a lot of that stuff in the core columns block now, but you couldn't a year ago. And the group block now is becoming more powerful. I think this week they've just announced that it's going to have margin control. So a lot of these block libraries have filled the space which core probably should have nailed earlier on. And so people have all these block libraries which aren't really doing a huge amount more than core should be doing or will be doing at some point soon.
So it sounds like, kind of thread through some of the statements you said, it sounds like tech debt, right? If I use a core block, then I'm not using a third-party plugin that I later have to reconcile with tests and compatibility. And, you know, why build something from scratch that you have to maintain when you can apply styles to something, you know, out of core, or maybe even a block library where you don't really have to do as much maintenance on the code.
Yeah. And it's also a huge, again, coming back to the training, it's a huge training and support cost for a lot of organizations when they're having to train people on specific blocks, whereas actually they could be using in core. And again, I come back to, you know, I see a lot of misuse of things like ACF, advanced custom fields, where people have historically used that or really simple layout stuff that you can do incredibly simply in the Gutenberg block editor, where you might just have, you know, a couple of sections on the page, which has been built with things like ACF by the dev company. And now the customer is faced with, they can't actually edit that page unless they go back to the agency. Whereas actually you can do all that stuff really, really simply in just Gutenberg Core now. So it's that kind of stuff really that hopefully Gutenberg is going to start to solve for a lot of companies. It's that ongoing cost bit.
Yeah, so to invoke a few more pillars, I guess, from your considerations as I hear you talk, it sounds like another one is like speed of the build for the builder.
Yeah.
And the other one would be the use, the usability of the experience for the content creator. If you were an agency, maybe your client or in a company, yeah, your marketers or whatever, but it sounds like it's a blend of those considerations as you
think. Yeah, I think that's massive. The number one reason why, and this is quite interesting for agencies as well, the savvy ones will get this, but the number one reason why people come on our training courses, if they're coming from, they already have a WordPress site, is they want to reduce cost they're paying to their agencies. So, and partly that is because of the way those sites have been built, that they can't, the companies can't actually edit those sites without going back to the agencies to tweak ACF, or, you know, they built them in such a way that they can't actually edit them. And Gutenberg should solve a lot of that stuff.
But, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because in 2018, as Gutenberg was rolling into Core, one of the sentiments that was thrown around is they won't need, the clients won't need us anymore. They'll do it all on their own. And here we are, what is it, 4 years later. And I mean, I know there's been some pandemic stress, but I feel like all my agency friends still have jobs. So like,
it
didn't result in that. And so like, I wonder if like the motivation for the brand is to, quote, not pay the agency as much versus, you know, not have to pay for small edits. Like, I feel like when you're paying an agency, you're ultimately paying them to grow. And you know, editing a page and having to pay hourly for every edit on your site does not sound like a strategy that helps you grow.
No, exactly. And that, yeah, the value will shift upstream. So it's, you know, it's positive for the agencies that get where the technology is heading. It won't be positive for the agencies that have those business models that rely on that, what you just talked about.
So let me kind of get back to the e-commerce kind of woo focus for a minute. You know, we have, you know, types of blocks that are helpful for building out content in general. Of course, you talked about column blocks and, you know, other types of content blocks, but e-com is, you know, has special use cases, right? So I'm just curious, like, what do you think are the most helpful types of blocks in an e-com context?
So I think this plays again back to the Gutenberg conversation. So I think where we've gone so far with Gutenberg, we're using Gutenberg to recreate what we could always do with WordPress. It's kind of like the plumbing phase in a way. The next bit for me is the really exciting bit, where we start to use blocks to do things we couldn't really do before. So for example, we've built a number of blocks that help take sites to slightly different places. So we have a block, which is a recently viewed product block. So you can use that block, and you can use it for different layouts. So you can have a flip book. We're talking about products here. So you can have a flip book, or you could have a nice masonry grid, or you could have a normal grid. So you can have different styles of block. But the recently viewed product will basically display any products that you've used on somebody's website as you browse the website. So you'll go to a page and it'll actually show you the products that you have shown interest in. And you can put that block anywhere. So you could put that block in the My Account page, or you could put that block on the thank you page. It's entirely up to you where you put that block.
Or your sidebar now, right?
yeah. You could put it, I mean, it's a block, so you can put it in the header. You can put it absolutely wherever you want to. And that's, you know, we're starting to talk about personalization and customization and dynamic.
I was gonna say, like, if I had to classify that as a, quote, kind of block, and this is definitely not going to be a standard that anyone's going to repeat, but I phrase these blocks as blocks that do stuff, right?
Yeah.
Not just lay out content, but interact with the database, interact with the user's behavior, and provide them value beyond just showing static information. And it seems like, and I love how you did recently viewed. I mean, obviously there's things like related products and other types of shopping experiences, but it's that, it's the functional blocks, the blocks that interact with stuff and do interesting things based on behavior, that I think is largely missing in Gutenberg and the block editor community right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the next phase of the excitement of Gutenberg, that you're going to be able to give these blocks to non. I was reading some stats about from WooCommerce actually about the amount of people on their marketplace. They detail how many people, the type of person that is buying from the marketplace, and it's something like 70% are non-technical store owners. So you can give these tools to these non-technical store owners, and they can create these really dynamic experiences on their WooCommerce stores without any technical knowledge.
Yeah, and I think like the technical knowledge to build them off is what the client ends up actually paying things like agencies and providers for, which I think is a really cool part. I want to dig a little deeper here, but we're going to take our last break and we'll be right back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on WMR. This is your host, David Vogelpohl. I'm interviewing Jamie Marsland about the Gutenberg editor and WooCommerce. Jamie, right before the break, we were talking a little bit about the types of blocks that work best in an e-commerce or WooCommerce context. And I loved your example of the recently viewed products block. But really more the meta example of the use of customization and personalization, dynamic personalization, I guess, in the end blocks as a mechanism for delivering value to the end user, but of course, also the person operating the site. So now I want to talk to you a little bit about FSC. Do you view full site editing and block themes as just the vehicle to get the block editor in the header and the footer, or do you see FSC themes themselves as a strategic part of what you're building? In other words, is FSC just the highway for blocks, or do you like the construct of FSC themes in relative to just their own merit?
Yeah, that's a great question. So
there's a long convoluted question, but
which part? I think for me the most exciting thing about FSC themes or block themes, whatever we're meant to call them now, is, and I think 5.9 is a stepping stone, so we're not seeing it properly yet. I think we won't see it properly until 6. But I think what's really interesting about FSC themes is what that means for the ecosystem and the community. And the biggest thing I think that I can sort of pull out of it is that the theme creation process is going to be massively simplified, or will be massively simplified going forward. So I could get, and we're starting to see glimpses of this with some people building some really cool tools, almost like theme builders. But I can definitely see a future where you're going to be able to build a theme in the future without any coding skills. Whereas at the moment you need to understand PHP and you need to understand other things to be able to build a theme. So you have to be part developer and part designer. I think that the really exciting thing about FSC is that I can definitely see a future where actually if you're just a great designer with no technical skills at all, you're going to be able to pump out beautiful WordPress themes. And that has again enormous implications for the current theme ecosystem, the marketplace going forward. I think that's going to be a really, really, really interesting place to play and watch what happens there.
I mean, it feels like FSC themes also provide a path for people with more moderate PHP skills versus classic themes.
Yeah.
Just absolutely. Because of the use of things like theme.json and just the simplicity of the approach. So I feel like even without the, I guess, quote, WYSIWYG approach or non-code approach, the FSC approach in general is more accessible to more people.
Yeah, I actually did it because I've got a YouTube channel. I actually did a tutorial on how to build your own FSC theme. And it's really, really, really simple. I mean, it's incredibly simple to build your own FSC theme. I mean, the theme I built wasn't beautiful. But technically, it's incredibly simple to use because you're just basically pulling in blocks. That's all you're doing. So the theme architecture has become much, 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 much more simple.
Okay. And I know with complex sites like WooCommerce sites or e-commerce sites in general, having a simple, performant and elegant theme is a big strategic part of that build. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. But now if you use an FSC or block theme and WooCommerce and you go into templates, you'll find there's some brand new exciting templates there. So our plugins, WooBuilder blocks and Storefront blocks, now can work. So if you use a block theme and you go into templates and you're using WooCommerce, you'll see there's a template called product, single product template, category template, archive product template. So you can actually go in there and edit
the product page template, if you're using one of our plugins, to recreate and design your product page just using blocks.
Wow, I have to give that a shot.
Yeah, it's really cool. The bit we're working on this week actually is how you can have different templates for different categories in WooCommerce. So you can have a product that has one design that goes so to a category of, let's say, sports, looks like this, and another category has a different design. That's a bit more complex. But we've done the plumbing now. We just released a couple of weeks ago the version of Woo Builder Blocks that now is fully supporting FSC. It's really, really cool. It's beautiful to use.
Excellent. Well, good luck on seeing that through to the end. Last question here, quick one to round us out, if we could. But what are you excited about or maybe hoping we'll get for the future of a block editor in Woo? What would you like to see or what do you think is happening that you're excited about?
I think the fact that Woo are fully immersed in the block world. So, you know, if you go into a block theme and you look at the templates, you'll see they've actually created the templates, nothing in them yet, ready for WooCommerce to fully immerse itself in the block editor. And I think that's a huge opportunity for people like me, because we've been in that space for 2 years. So we're kind of already ready and waiting for Woo to get there. I think it'll take longer than possibly we expect, but the implications will be enormous once they get there, because they're just going to be pushing blocks. Woo blocks are going to be absolutely enormous in the future.
All right, well, time will tell. Thank you so much for joining the show here today, Jamie. Really enjoyed the interview.
Yeah, thank you so much, David.
Yeah, of course. If you'd like to learn more about what Jamie's up to, you can visit Pootle, Pootle press.co.uk. Thanks everyone for listening to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on WMR. Again, this has been your host, David Vogelpohl. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet-setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.